for us to just be quiet and think about who God is and the greatness of his person, character. And I don't think it's ironic. I don't think it's by chance that right from the very start of our first service this morning, we declared that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Amen? He's not Lord of some things. He's not Lord of the things that we want to let go. He's Lord of everything, and he wants to be the Lord of our life. And this morning, we're going to talk a little bit of what that looks like in terms of our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with each other as we talk about fellowship. Well, good morning. Good to be here. We are continuing our mini study this morning, the blueprint for the church from Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. We're going to have the verse up here that we've been using as our text through the last group of studies, and it's coming. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, New King James Version says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," or teaching, "and in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers." I love Acts chapter 2. I love the introduction of the church. For those that haven't read it, you should read Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 and how the Lord worked miracles and in wondrous ways to show his power and glory as the church was formed. The day of Pentecost had finally come, and the promised helper from John chapter 14, the Paracletus, the one that was promised by Jesus to come alongside and guide us and direct us. We sang about that this morning, the person of the Holy Spirit, the one who pleads our case, the one who empowers us, the one who straightens out our thought process by the teaching of his power. And he descends upon the believers on that day, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Peter stands up and he preaches the first evangelical sermon preached in the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the infamous challenge that he throws out. And I love that sermon that he spoke with such power and confidence. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, this is what he says. "Then Peter said to them," this is the group that were there that day on the day of Pentecost, "repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And as you read on, 3,000 souls came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that day. Wow. Talk about growing out of your church. Talk about growing out of your facility. 3,000 are added to the number, and they're baptized, and they call themselves part of the way. This new group that are now bowing to the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life, and the church is born. First century church. There's a group of believers that were on fire for the Lord with their new faith. Excited about living and sharing their faith with those around. And in our text that we have on the board here this morning, the one that we've been studying, we're told that they continued steadfastly. We talked about the love, the steadfast love of our Lord. What's that word steadfast mean? The meaning of steadfast means to be earnest, diligent, devoted, to adhere closely to. I was not steadfast in my school studies. I can look back in my life on all kinds of things that I wasn't very steadfast in. But I trust as I mature in the Lord that I'm going to be steadfast in the things that God wants from me. To be diligent, to be earnest, to be devoted, to adhere closely to, and to preserve. And the early church took their faith seriously. And they lived it out with truth and passion. We studied two of the four foundational practices of that early first century church. We first studied from Acts chapter 2, 42, that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teaching. We learned that the baseline for the teaching was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the baseline. The plan of salvation by grace through faith. And with this transformation that happens when you transform from darkness into light, there's the teaching of a life that of sanctification and dedication for the Lord. That's what the apostles' doctrine and teaching. Remember, they didn't have the canon of Scripture. They went a one-on-one teaching of the apostles as God gave it to the apostles in their early teaching. Then we studied last week the breaking of bread, and we were all able to share in that together. That was amazing for all of us to break off a little piece of bread and drink the cup in remembrance. It's the remembrance or worship service that we're going to recall all the glories of the one who hung on a cross and sacrificed, became the substitutionary sacrifice for our sin. Wasn't that amazing that we have the chance to do this? And Scripture tells us, as oft as you do this, you proclaim, you shout, you send out the message of his death until he comes. And we have the challenge to do that on an ongoing practice as part of the baseline or the fundamentals of the early church's practice. And this morning we're going to study fellowship. This word fellowship is translated from the Greek word koinonia. You might have heard of koinonia groups in some churches. You might have never heard of koinonia fellowship. So what does koinonia mean? Well, koinonia means sharing or having in common, communion, relationship with a common interest. You might have heard the word fellowship in our culture many times. We know that corporations have fellowships. Colleges and universities have special fellowships. Labor guilds and law partners and professionals have fellowships whereby they're together in a society because they're like-minded or they have like discipline. Well, the word used in Acts chapter 2 in verse 42 for fellowship is used to describe a partnership and a joint participation in the body of Christ. A common sharing relationship and purpose for those who are trusting and committing their life to the Lord. There are three aspects to fellowship I want to look at this morning. This fellowship topic is huge, and we could do a whole series on fellowship. But I'm going to just look at three things that I think are fundamental to our church life here at Bethel Bible Chapel as we participate in the kingdom building together. The first one I want to look at is the basis for our fellowship. And I want to use the text of the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And next, I want to do serving together in fellowship from Romans chapter 12 and from Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to thirdly do doing life together in fellowship from Acts chapter 2, 44 and 47, which are verses in the ongoing chapter that we've been studying. So let's jump in. The basis for our fellowship, the Epistle of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. For those that have your Bibles, let's read this together. It'll be up on the board, and we can read this and enjoy this scripture together. John, chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our eyes have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things I write to you that your joy may be full. I love this. I love the Apostle John in his eyewitness account. He's ringing out very true and clear that that he's the witness of I was there and I lived with Jesus. I saw him. I walked with him. I talked with him. I lay my head on his shoulders. I know who this man is. For those that discounted the person of Jesus Christ and the reality of that, the time he wrote this epistle, he's going on record and he's saying, I know him because I personally had an encounter with that life giver. I declare his eternality. In John chapter 1, you remember what he read in his gospel. He says, John chapter 1 and verse 1, the same apostle John writes this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. Eternal. Eternal before time ever was, God was, and Jesus was. He was co-eternal with the Father in existence before we even came into existence in this world. And I declare unto you, he goes on in John, in the Epistle of John chapter 1, I declare unto you this message of the gospel that he is the Word of life. Remember back, reference to John chapter 1 in the gospel again. John chapter 1 and verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. We studied this in our John study last year. John chapter 20 and verse 31. These things I have written unto you that believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that you, believing, you might have life in his name. He's the life giver, and the only reason that we have Christian fellowship is because we share in faith of this new life in Jesus Christ. It's not because we're part of a membership. It's not because we've signed our name on a piece of paper. It's not that because we have a certain name over our church. The reason we have true fellowship is because of our union with Jesus Christ in his faith. Amen? Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness to your spirit, or to our spirit, that we are children of God. And then if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 says this, we are body of Christ. Our connection, our communion, our fellowship is because we have trusted Christ and are now connected as part of the universal body of Christ, the church. That's what God's plan was, to bring us, a group of people, unto himself. And he does that through the revelation of himself in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the church isn't a building. It's not this building. And it's not any other building, even though we casually in our culture say, I'm going to church, and I understand what that is, or let's go visit that really nice church. But the church is not a building. We are the church. Amen? We are body of Christ. If we're a believer in Jesus Christ, we're indwelled by his Spirit, and we are body of Christ. And God's people are a living, knit together in union with Jesus. And if we're going to be in fellowship, if we're going to be in koinonia, we must belong to Christ. That's the baseline for our fellowship. It's the story of the cross, that the Almighty God looks down, and we read that in chapter 2, that he didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He steps back from his glory and his honor, his angel's song, and he comes into this scene. And he's found in fashion as a man, 5'8". He's found in fashion as a man, and he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He became a servant. The God of everything becomes the servant and dies on a cross that we might have fellowship with him. And we trust him as Lord and Savior. When we look at that sacrifice and we have faith and trust in what he is, and in what, powered by that enlightenment from the Holy Spirit, that effectual call that comes and can only come by the power of the Spirit. When that happens and that transaction happens, and we move from darkness into light, from light, from death unto life, we share in his fellowship, his body, his death, his resurrection, and his new life. That's what our fellowship line baseline is. And for every one of us in this room, I just want to challenge you that if you want to be in fellowship with the believers that sit beside you, you need to be in fellowship with the Lord. And the only way to be in fellowship with the Lord is you trust him, you bow before him. We read this right from the beginning. Nick Perino shared a verse with us after Gary opened this morning, first service. Gary said, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And Nick shared a verse that he is Lord of all. This isn't an option in our life. if we want to be in fellowship with each other, we need to be in fellowship with the Lord. And the only way you do that is you bow before him and you bow to his authority. You bow to who he is and what he's done. And you bow to the honor and glory and majesty that he alone holds. I trust that we've done that this morning as we move on in our fellowship talk and as we look at how this interacts in our church. Let's get fellowship right. Let's get fellowship connected vertically before we can have any kind of fellowship horizontally. Let's go on to our second heading, serving together in fellowship. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. A little bit of a read, but I think we have time. And I was going to try to condense it, and I said, you know what? There's power in the word, amen? I'm not going to try to rephrase something that God has put by the power of his spirit in scripture, and I'm going to read it right from text. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 to 8. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or rational service. It's the only thing we should do when we understand who he is and what he's done. And we do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace that is given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as many as we have many bodies, members in one body, remember we're body of Christ, but all members do not have the same function. So we being many are one in body in Christ, one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that God has given to us, let us use them. I love that. It's in italics. Let us use them. Don't just think about them. Don't just talk about them. Let's use them. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, and that he is not necessarily the male gender. That's just a reference of us as a group. With diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And we're not going to read on, but it says on that we serving God is the reference. That we do all these things serving God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's continue the same topic of body and gifting. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, the Lord of all, remember, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. We got to use it. Every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I love that. I love the picture these texts have shown us as this body of Christ, these believers, these called out ones, are like any kind of body, our human body, where we have many members and everyone is important. I had a hip replacement a year ago last May, and I got to tell you, 3 years I had bone on bone, and I didn't realize how slow I was getting and how much problem that is. And you think, oh, this is a little thing. It's about 8.5 inches long, and like, who cares? Well, I tell you, I cared. And when that little piece of bone was rubbing on, and the little cartilage that went in between, that joint was gone, and wow, well, let's just shove something in there. Well, it doesn't go. That's God's plan. That this was formed miraculously before I even was around. And this whole plan of our body and this little piece that was malfunctioning caused agony and grief. And it's important. And every part is important. And my mother had diabetes severely, and she had to have some bad blood flow in her. She had to have her baby toe. And she's limping around. I says, Ma, it can't be that bad. She says, you got to try walking without your baby toe. Well, it's problematic. Every part is needed in the body. And we think, well, I'm not an Not a nose. Good thing you're not this nose. And you have all those things that maybe are insignificant, or at least you think they are. Well, the picture of the body is that it's complete because it's made up of many members. And each one specifically designed for a particular task. And the Lord's chosen to show his glory and his transforming power through us, the church, which is his body. Whether we're in a local church setting or in community outreach, each of us are given a particular gifting for us to use. And as a body, we need each part to participate. Each member is important. We read that from the text this morning. God's eternal plan was to have the church, that's you and I, in the universal church, and you and I in a local church body here at Bethel Bible Chapel, to be the instruments of accomplishing his will. He's entrusted to us his plan. Yes, Jesus Christ, the God of eternity, does the saving, but he's entrusted us to be the proclaimer of that message, to be the light, to be that shining beacon on a hill that can't be hidden, to be the salt in a culture that needs to be tasted. God's commissioned us to be that instrument, we the church. And God's plan and purpose for us to hold up our God to a world that maybe disregards him and display his every glorious aspect of who he is. God's plan and purpose for the church is to use our God-given gifting to encourage, edify, and grow each other up in fellowship together. That's what God's plan is. We can't be Lone Ranger Christians. I remember having this conversation with my dad, and my dad was very much a director of, he made points of things in life, and it didn't matter where we went. I talked to Nicholas about this yesterday. It didn't matter what job we were doing, there was always a life lesson. And it was a life lesson that was biblically based. I love that. I'm recalling them now and saying, he wasn't just a bore, it was really important. But all the way through my life, I had those life lessons. And one of the things that I used to say, Dad, he said, be a good testimony, whatever you do. Show others who you believe in. And I says, but Dad, I want to live to myself. Well, you don't live to yourself. We aren't independent Christians. We live as part of a body that reflects the body of Christ. And we reflect this group here. So when we leave this building and we go out, we reflect a group of believers that meet here at Bethel Bible Chapel. And our life and our function and our words and our testimony is that to bear witness to who we belong to and belong to, and to be sincere and to be clear and to be right and to be honoring in our life. And so we don't live to ourselves. We're part of this body and we need to participate to use it. And God's plan and purpose for us is to hold God up to the world around us and show who he is and what he's done in our life. We're testimony to the fact that we were lost and now we're found. Amen? I love the testimony of John Newton, the blasphemer. I was listening to that a couple weeks ago and still listening to it again. And here's a man that was a slave trader that cursed the name of the Lord and every other curse. In fact, he'd invent a curse. And that was the type of guy he was. And God touched him by the power of his spirit and changed this person. And he's into a beacon of light. From darkness, a hunk of coal, to a beautiful diamond. And that transformation only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's done that in our life. Let's show the world around what we can and what our life can be because of the power of the Lord. This week in Daily Devotion by Paul Tripp, some of you might read Paul Tripp. Evangelical minister and author. And he talks about Psalm 145, verse 4, as being transformational in his ministry understanding. And his point was that we don't need to hold an official position within our church, and we don't need to be a ministry leader, but each one of us are called to be a participant in the work of God's kingdom together as part of a body, as part of the local body here at Bethel Bible Chapel. And as child of the Redeemer, each one of us holds a lifelong ministry responsibility. And it could look like any one of these. Maybe you're facilitating a Bible study. Maybe it's small groups. Teaching Sunday school, awesome. You want to learn God's word? Teach Sunday school. because you can't teach it if you don't know it. And that's the, you get into the word and you understand what God's telling us so we can impart that to a young person. And that's just the most amazing biblical road that we could travel. Talking to teens at youth group, leading corporate worship, preaching a sermon, raising your own children, building up your spouse, encouraging someone who is hurting, mentoring a younger believer, sharing the gospel. All those are things that happen every Sunday here at Bethel Bible Chapel, the local church. And it happens by you as a group. And it doesn't happen if we don't participate with the gifting as part of the body member that you are and that I am. We can't come here and sit on our hands. That's not what a body does. A body has every member functioning, and it's knit together, and we read that in Ephesians, that we might grow up. And we don't grow if we've got one part that's not pulling its weight. So all of us together are this knit body that grows together. Every ligament, it says in Scripture, supplying the need to the body. Question, are you participating in this body life? And I'm not going to answer for you. I ask myself the same question. How am I participating? Come and go and do whatever I feel, and I'm coming here to be fed, and I'll jump from church to church until I find one that meets all my needs? Well, Chuck Swindoll said, if you're looking for a perfect church, don't go to that one because it won't be good anymore. You know, the point is that what we're looking for? We're looking for this perfect scenario out here where I'm going to meet all my needs? Or are we ready to jump in with both feet and show others what God is doing in our life? As Suzanne said this morning, an amazing testimony. We need to do more testimonies from this spot. Amen? We need to tell others what God's doing in our life or the others that we've seen, other lives, and we can testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, and he's the Lord of all, and he's working right here in our midst. And he's working in my heart, and there's a lot of digging, guys. There's a lot of mining to be done in my heart. But I love the verse in Ephesians that the work that he started, he's going to finish. Amen? He started a lot of, and it's been a long time on the road. And I tell you, some of that road was rocky. And some of that road was misguided, and I was off on a different path, and the Lord's brought me back every time. And that work's going to continue. But let's be testimony to the fact that we're body of Christ and we're working, each member working together for the need of the body so that we can be growing up together to be edifying and supporting and encouraging and bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. Are we participating? And the last one is doing life in fellowship. Doing life together in fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 47. We're going to read this together. It'll be up on the board. Acts chapter 2, 44 to 47. So this is after the 3,000 are saved and added to the number, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And the chapter goes on to explain. Now all those who believe, that would be part of the original 120 or whatever there were, and then 3,000. All those who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Life, doing life together. Wow, doesn't that sound great? It sounds nice and simple. And I don't know, my life isn't that simple, but it seemed like such a simplistic way of moving forward. And can we do this first century Christian living together, doing life together in our 21st century culture? Can we do that? We don't live in the same urban settings as they did in the early church. They lived in pods, from what I understand, and it would be a neighbor's lot was there, and there would be common areas on these pods where they lived, and they would come together, and of course everybody in the neighborhood one because it was in their backyard as well. And so there was this connectivity there in their culture. They were able to proclaim this the way, the new way that they were transforming their lives with an interaction with in common living. But what we do is we all jump into our own car. You go to some events and you think there must be 1,000 people here by the number of cars. Everybody's in their own car. And they drive in their own car to their own house. They drive in their attached garage. They open the door. They go in. They shut the door. They go into the house from the garage. And we disappear. So how can we have connectivity with each other in this culture of insulation? We're insular and we're disconnected from each other. We're all over the place. We came from Pine Island this morning, and so we come into Sault Ste. Marie and so we're here and so do we lose contact with those that are here because we live in a different township and how do we do this? How do we do this better? How can we connect better and share life deeper and love more sincerely? Well, Rosaria Butterfield, in her book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key, for those that want to read it, there's some outstanding, uncomfortable reading for you. And when I say uncomfortable reading, they said, you got to get out of your comfort zone, man. You got to sit with the same people every Sunday or meet with the same group. That's easy. How about we sit between two people that we don't know? How about we interact with someone that is completely different from the way you are? You know how we gravitate to people who are like us? Well, we're called to be a testimony to the world, to each other, in a way that connects us regardless of our creed or regardless of our nationality or regardless of our likes, our dislikes, our interests. She outlines the need for us to get out of our comfort zone and open our lives and open our homes. And her book is The Bible, The Gospel Comes with a House Key. So it's a way for us to connect and to bond in a way that we could never, ever do in corporate church. That we open our doors and our houses. And she talks about it, one part of her book, she talks about having a holiday house for all those that don't have family. We know that at Thanksgiving you can come to such and such an address and it's always open to our policy because we got all kinds of people in here that don't have family. We have singles in here that don't have boyfriends or girlfriends. We segregate them here. This is all the singles over here. That's your single ministry and well, this is your couples ministry. And we're in it together. We're cross cultural, cross spouse line, cross everything. We're to connect with each other and love and affect. And how do we do that? How do we make ourselves available for those that call up and say, I got a problem this week and this is what it is and I need some help? How do we do this in a better way so the church and the body grows up together in fellowship? Well, I can tell you one way we can do this. And there's all kinds of ways. I think for us being sensitive to each around us, to be in touch with lives, to think of 10 names that you can call through the week to just say how you're doing and have some kind of buildup of mentorship and or accountability. I think that's a great way. We have that in our small group ministry. And I think that's one way we can do it is in small groups. Small groups, we meet in a way that we can do, and as Jerry said already this morning, that we can do large church small, a way to interact, and I can tell you by witness or by testimony, we're witness to the fact that as we've moved around different small groups over the years, I've grown a relationship with people that I could have never done any other way. I could have never done that. I could have never met and interacted in an intimate way by me swinging the door here and saying, hi, how are you? And Debbie always gives me a hard time because we say, how are you? I'm fine. What does that mean? Where do we get to this connectivity where we can actually share with each other our life and our burdens so we can pray for each other, so we can help each other? Well, small groups, it's Sign Up Sunday. And Jennifer's going to come up right now. And she's going to tell us just a little bit about our small group ministry here and how we can connect in one way, it's not the only way, one way as doing life together as body of Christ.
Thanks. I don't know if I can come up with the same fervor that you're going with right now, but I am a... Andrew and I love leading up the small group ministry, and every September we're busy putting groups together, and we're so thankful for the leaders that step up and for the host homes that volunteer to make this ministry possible. So Andrew's been talking about one way we can do fellowship better and in meaningful ways is through small group. And the purpose of small group is to nurture in an atmosphere in which people can care for and connect with one another while growing in personal faith and service for Jesus Christ. It's a place to promote fellowship and unity, to get to know other people, nurture your spiritual gifts in a safe environment. So it's a place where we have recognized people's gifts and encouraged people to say, hey, you know, you're really good at this. God has equipped you to do this. Here's a way you can serve the church or reach out in your community. It's not a substitute for church attendance, but should lead to an enhancement of our services here, which it does so often. So these groups should equip us to learn, love, serve, and reach out in our sphere of influence for the glory of God. So we don't come here, you know, this is a great service and the morning has been wonderful, but we're getting equipped to go out. We don't just generate a lot of excitement here and then it fizzles out when we go out the doors. So small groups is one of those places that we continue to learn about this transformational work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and then we go out and we reach our world, the lost around us. So we do this, we meet once a week in a home, and we have just Wednesday and Thursday nights and one Sunday late afternoon group that's going right now. And we meet together for about 2 hours. We share the responsibility around food and that sort of thing. We pray in small groups. Some groups may worship together with music, and others may not be so musically talented. We're thankful to be at Christine Horst's group, so we always get the grand piano going in our group at least once during the evening. And so it's a really great time to learn and grow together. One thing I've appreciated about small groups is we try to make them multi, Andrew had talked about this, that we often segregate people in church around, you know, whatever lines. But small groups are multi-generational, and it's an amazing thing to have all ages in small groups, and we have really enjoyed that in our groups, that we have some... we have all ages and relationship status in our group last year, and we can learn and grow together. It's multi-generational discipleship at its best. It's a place where you can not only just meet at that time, but also you're a resource for people in times of need in their family outside of the group time. So we do have sign up Sunday. Some of our groups are already full. I would say the Overman group is no longer called a small group, but a small church. So don't think you're going there. But like we said, consider signing up. If you have been in small groups for the last 10 years, how many years have we been doing it now, Andrew?
15 years.
15 years here at Bethel. So if you've been in the same small group for 10 years, it's time to change. You know, somebody likened it to being in a pair of comfy old shoes. Well, I've changed my shoes, and Andrew doesn't really like flat shoes, but they're very fashionable. So change your shoes, change your small group, get out of your comfort zone, and meet new people, because we can learn so much from each other, not just from the people we're super comfortable with. And so I would encourage you to find a small group to sign up for. We're going to be studying 1 Peter, and on Sundays we're going to be doing it. It's called Living Hope Series, and we'll be doing 1 Peter in small groups also. And In the winter, we go on and small groups create their own topics from there. So come and see what's available on the back, and we'll be signing up again next week if you don't want to commit this week. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Let's stand together. I didn't share the verse that Paul Tripp was referencing in his devotional, so we're going to read it together as we stand, and I'll read it, and it's Psalm 145, verse 4, says this, and this speaks to each one of our hearts. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Our responsibility is to pass on what we know to the next generation, to others around us. We do this in community. We do this as part of a body. And as we pray together, Murray's going to come up and we're going to sing Bind Us Together. So let's just bow our heads as Murray starts playing, and let's just give our time to the Lord and the challenge of this in our lives. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the description of what you would have us as the church to be. We thank you for the enlightenment of your spirit in our life. We thank you that you're the one that gives life. You're the life giver. You've changed things that are obscure and dark, and you've transformed it into marvelous light, Lord. You've taken us out of the kingdom of darkness, and you've translated us into the Son of your love's kingdom. And we just thank you for that transformation. We ask that we can be a beacon of light. We ask as we grow together that you would help us in our fellowship, Lord, that we would be connected, that we would be a body of Christ that love each other. And as we read in your word that you told the disciples, by this the world will know your mind if you love one another. We just ask, Lord, that we can do this in a tangible way as we gather together here and as we go out to be the effective working of your will in this community, in this country, in this province. We thank you for the opportunity to do this together. As we pray this in the name, above all name, the one name that alone is worthy, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together. Bind us together.
Able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.